That's right.
You have something you want to say?
No, I'm going to let you get started. I'll jump in a minute. She does such a good job. I just enjoy standing over here watching. You go ahead. You go ahead. Let me just say as we start out, since you opened the door, you know, this is a culmination of 17 years of intercession. Could you feel the hope that came the day after the election? Could you feel the air? Could you feel the air change? The presence of what we've been praying for. The fruitfulness.
Amen.
Of what God wants to do in this nation. And it's just amazing that God had a timing on it. That He had to bring forth His mantle of Cyrus to break the yokes over this land. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that you and I get to share in the work of restoring the nation? Isn't that beautiful? Do you feel that? Do you really feel that in your intercession? Because that's what we're doing. Is we're coming into this with a whole heart. Is we're coming into it in a sense of responsibility. You know, it's our responsibility to lead this nation back to God. To bring it back to the course. So the mighty men of valor can come. And the church can step back into its rightful place. You see, because not only will we need the mantle of Cyrus, but we'll need the church to come to her place in this nation. Because if the church does not arise, there'll be no way to sustain where we have to go. Do you understand that? We need the church to understand that. So this is just a really beautiful thing. I know all of you had tears of joy the next morning when you came, and the air was different.
You already
knew what was going on.
How many of you interceded all the way through election night?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's what took it over the top. That's what took it
over
the top.
I knew I wasn't the only one. Amen.
Because we know what it's like to sit in election where when you went to bed that night, you were feeling really good. And the next morning, wake up to find out, oh my God, what just happened? Don't we all know what that's like? Oh, devastating. But this time, we had the joy of the Lord. God really came. And I just want to encourage you, this is the fruits of your prayers. This is why intercession is so important. And you know, we're really just beginning. Because we have 8 years, and I'm just going to prophesy that right now. We got 8 years to pray Him through.
Amen.
What He needs to do.
Yes.
He is going to need the intercessors. It's you that are carrying the ark until the church arises and does its responsibility in the earth. And so here we are, and we're going to carry that ark, and we're going to you let the Lord use us and allow us to pray into what heaven is speaking in the earth.
Amen.
So that He can accomplish what He's here to do. And I need to say this because we need to understand this. It is not about Trump. Everybody understand that? We're not putting our eyes on a man.
That's right.
Jesus, Yeshua, is the focus. But He has called this man and anointed this man and placed a mantle on this man to be able to accomplish the things that he'll be doing. And we're going to be a part of the push of praying that through in Yeshua's name.
Yeah, we do have another push coming. You know that, right? Because
yes.
We got to get this electoral college over the top. Okay, so. But it is wonderful what God has been doing, you know, and, you know, He has more than one mantle, you know, and wow. You know, the Lord told me last Friday night, actually, we were in worship, and the Lord spoke to me right in the middle of the worship, and He said, You know, all you have seen is just the tip of the iceberg of what the Cyrus mantle is all about and what can be accomplished through it. You know, and he said, you really have no idea. You really have idea. You know, as much as y'all studied it and talked about it and prayed about it, and you really have no idea, you know, what God is about, what he's about to do, what he has already released in the earth. We have no idea of the magnitude of the gift that has been given, not just to this nation, but to the earth.
That's right.
Because yes. Cyrus affects the earth.
Yes, that's right.
You know, he is a hope, as Ken spoke about the morning after the election. You know, I remember waking up and going outside, and I felt this tangible difference in the earth. I felt it. And God said, it's my order. Divine order has been set in place.
Yes.
And he said, I have stripped hopelessness off this nation.
Yes, God.
And has put up a standard of hope.
Yes.
He's so good.
He is.
He is so good. You know, and I remember Nita said about why it was taking so long. And he told her, he said, you had to wait for Cyrus.
That's right.
Did anybody ask that question? Why is this taking so long, Lord? You had to wait for Cyrus, the Lord told her, so that enough people would get up and vote.
Yes.
That was the Lord's statement. You had to wait for Cyrus so that enough people would get out and vote. And praise God, enough people got out and voted.
Yes.
I just looked at that map and I said, cover it with the blood of Jesus. Just let every state be red, 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 red. You know, blood of Jesus all night long. I was just like, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. We're claiming every state
That's
for
right.
the blood of Jesus. That red is for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes, God.
This
is the introduction, okay? Yeah. So we'll be there. We'll be there in a minute.
Okay, so I want to tell you one more little story. This is about Donald Trump's wife, Melania. She is so beautiful, and she's so intelligent. She speaks, was it four to five languages?
Yeah,
you know, my goodness gracious, the Lord prepared her, huh? Amen. So Trump had been researching. You know, some people had come to him and said, you know, how about, you know, running for office. Things aren't going so well in many areas. We could use your help. And he began researching it and thinking about it for quite a while before it was ever made public.
As early as 2004, 2007.
And they were watching, Melania and President-elect Trump were watching the evening news one night. They were watching, actually, the Baltimore riots. And here's what she said. She turned and she looked at her husband and she said, if you run now, you will be president.
How prophetic is that?
And he was shocked. He was shocked and he said, what? He said, I thought you said I was too brash and to get elected. And she looked back at the TV and she saw the riots. And she looked at him and she said, something has changed. This should give you a fresh perspective of this lady.
Yes.
She said, something has changed. They're ready for you now.
Yes.
Does that give you a new respect for her?
Yes.
You will be president, she said. The Lord was speaking his words through her.
Yes.
To him. So since, you know, the Lord has chosen to bring Cyrus to this time and period in which we're living, many of you have heard this, but you need to know this so well because you need to be able to share it. Because as we go through the Trump presidency, there can be a lot of questions. And as we go through this kind of bumpy road that we're this transition road to get from where we are to where the Lord has for us to be. We need to understand what He has called us to, so that we can pray fervently, so we can pray passionately. And no matter what nation you're from, whether it's America, whether it's Canada, and Canada is very much in our hearts. Tony knows we pray, for those of you that don't know, if you're from Canada, we have Canada JA call every Sunday night. Sometimes, Tony, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Sometimes Tony leads it. We have Gilbert who leads it. Candace leads. And Arena is not here, is she? No. Arena is not here. Arena is helping us in Canada. And Canada is going to turn around.
Yes. Yes.
It's going to turn
yes.
around.
It is.
These people. And it we is. Are so happy that so many of our USJA intercessors are joining the Canada call.
Yes.
Because it really boosts them and gives them that feeling of support that's coming from their neighbor.
That's right.
You know, the scripture says, the Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
You know, so
that's right.
Whether that's a country neighbor or whether that's a physical neighbor, we're to love them and we're to help them.
Amen.
I'll hush.
Amen. No. This should be entitled The Mantle of Cyrus.
We'll change that.
We haven't changed that yet. So I just want to say that in 2012, do you remember the vision that Nita had for where 24/7, she had in a peripheral vision, she was seeing them behind closed doors in revolutionary garb, and they were forging out the government. They were forging out every area of our society that needed to be changed. And she saw this for 30 days, and it was like the time of the revolution, and things were changing behind closed doors. And see, the prayers of the intercessors was causing this to be pushed forward. And so Nita saw these people, and reformation, the spirit of reformation and revolution was being released in America, so that everything that we need to happen will come forth. So God raised up this Cyrus Mantle. And the Cyrus Mantle is going to bring the reformation and the revolution in this nation. You can already feel it. How many know, since he's already just been president-elect, it's almost like he's already president. I mean, have you heard some of the things going on? Have you seen some of the things? The wheels are already turning. I mean, when he hits the ground, most of that stuff will already be done. It'll just be enacted right then. I mean, it'll just go like that. You know, he has executive orders, you know, that he's going to revoke, that needs to be revoked so that we can go forward. So that's a part of this reformation that's going on right now. So I'd like for Debbie, just for a minute or two, to give you a little bit of history on Cyrus, because we need to look back at the biblical Cyrus so we can see what kind of effect that he's going to have. I need to prepare you that he's not just going to have an effect on this nation, like Don said just a little bit ago. He's going to have effect on the nations. His foreign policy will change a lot of things for a lot of nations. How many know that we haven't been real popular for a while among the nations? You know why? Same reason we had a problem and had to do so much repentance in America. We haven't kept our word. We didn't keep our word to the Native Americans. We didn't keep our word to the African Americans. And we haven't kept our word in the nations. And we're not trusted very much right now. And he's going to come. This anointing, this mantle, is going to cause a trust for us, for the nation again. And I mean, we can't believe. I mean, we're just talking about this right now. But we cannot believe what kind of impact this is going to have. I mean, it's way past any of us can sit here and imagine what he's going to do and how it's going to change the nation.
Amen. One second. So much warfare around this guy. Why? Why so much warfare around him? You know, have you ever seen anybody lately that's so hated? Somebody that's trashed, tried to destroy just everything, you know, in every way possible. Well, let's go back in time. We're going back to the original Cyrus, and we're going to look at the warfare that surrounded the original Cyrus in the scriptures. You know, let's think about Moses. What did they try to do to Moses when he was a baby? Yeshua. What did they try to do to Yeshua? So it's kind of, you know, if somebody's out to get you, then maybe you have a real important delivery. You know, maybe you're a real important deliverer that the Lord is wanting to use, that the Lord is wanting to put in place. And that was true with the original Cyrus. When Cyrus was born, his grandfather was King Astyages. And King Astyages had a dream. And King Astyages dreamed that his kingdom was overtaken by his grandson. Well, he didn't want that to happen. So he thought, I'll just have the baby. When my daughter delivers the baby, I'll have the baby killed. So he called an official, and he said, when the baby was born, you're to kill it. So he got the baby, gave it to the official, and says, take the baby and kill it. Bless God, the official he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And so he calls this shepherd that he knows, and he says, I want you to take the baby and kill the baby. Now, what baby are we talking about here? Cyrus. The shepherd took the baby home, and Mrs. Shepherd saw the baby. What would Mrs. Shepherd do? Adam, tell us, what would Mrs. Shepherd do if the baby, you brought the baby home and you were supposed to kill it? What would Mrs. Shepherd say to you? Let's keep the baby. Let's keep the baby. And no way. No way. No how are we killing the baby? So Mrs. Shepherd said, no, we're going to keep the baby. So they raised Cyrus as a shepherd.
Yes.
You know, in the scripture, when it calls him, he's my shepherd.
That's right.
See how God is in the details?
That's right.
He knew how to teach him. I believe he had that shepherd just picked out because he knew that that shepherd was going to instill in Cyrus what he needed so that he could be the ruler of the known world at that time.
That's right.
Isn't that a precious story?
Yes.
I weep almost every time I hear it.
Yes.
So he was Cyrus the shepherd. It says that Cyrus was a very benevolent man. He was a very good man. He was a man of integrity.
That's right.
And he did grow up and do exactly what his grandfather said he would do. Now, when he was 12 years old, King Astyages discovered that he had not been killed. But God's grace still kept Cyrus, and King Astyages didn't kill him. But when Cyrus grew up, he did overthrow his grandfather's kingdom and become the king of Persia.
His grandfather's kingdom was a wicked kingdom.
Right. He did not want to be called a conqueror. He called himself a liberator. When he would go into an area, he wondered sometimes why it was so easy for him to just, you know, go in and do what he did. He didn't yet realize what God was doing. He didn't realize about the God of the Israelites. He didn't realize about the God of the Hebrews. But he was soon to learn. So Cyrus makes his way into Babylon. Now, who is it? This is a test. Who is it that had been carried away into Babylon? Israel. And who were there some kind of smart guys that were taken with them? Who were those people? Daniel. Yeah, Meshach, Abednego, all those guys, okay?
These guys are Bible students.
Yeah, okay. So let me ask you this. Was Daniel kind of high up in the government? Was he? Okay, he was. He was high up in the government. You think Daniel knew a few things? Yeah, he did. He knew a few things. And the amazing thing is that when Cyrus made his way into Babylon, Daniel and some of the other Jewish sages came to him and said, "Hey, we know you. We know you." And he's like, "What? 150 years ago, our prophet Isaiah and also Jeremiah spoke about you in our scriptures. They told about what you were going to do.
That's right. That's
they
right.
called you by name." Now, okay, let's just pretend. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, I know you. 150 years ago, there was this very famous prophet. He put your name down and said what you were going to do, called you by name and said what you were going to do." Now, whether you believed him or not, you know, just out of curiosity, would you kind of say, "Well, what did he say?" You know? And so Cyrus is like, "Well, what did he say?" So Daniel began to download what he said. They read the scriptures to him of what the Lord said that Cyrus was going to do. Now, how do we know that? What's the proof of that? The proof is that Cyrus went out and in his own handwriting, he took this clay cylinder. They call it the Cyrus cylinder. He took this clay cylinder and with his own hand, he wrote some words. Those words, paraphrased, are apparently... I'm putting this in modern language. Apparently, the God of Israel has decided and appointed me to be the king of the earth. And I believe him.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that was significant that he wrote it in his own handwriting. You think?
That's right.
I mean, it made an impression on him.
That's right. It's actually traveled here.
Yeah. In 2012, when Ken was talking a while ago about the peripheral vision that Nita had 24/7 for that month, you know, and the Lord told her then in 2012, the Lord said, "Cyrus is coming to America."
That's right. She actually spoke about Cyrus in 2012.
Yeah, and she said, "Cyrus is coming to America?" And the Lord said, "Cyrus is bringing Cyrus to America." In 2013, that Cyrus cylinder I just told you about was brought from the British Museum to America.
Yeah. Toured in five cities.
Yeah, toured five cities. D.C., New York, Houston.
Yeah.
Did you go see it? Houston, San Francisco, and L.A.
Yeah. That's right.
The whole year of 2013. It was supposed to go home early, but yeah, it didn't go home early.
It was supposed to be only here about 6 or 8 months, but it stayed the entire year.
That's right. And so...
prophetic.
Yeah, we said it to Nita. We said, "Hey, Nita, we think that's a prophetic act." And she said, "You think?" That was her word. They're precious. So yeah, that was a prophetic act.
We learned not to assume anything.
You know, the Lord said, Cyrus is coming. There it is. Look at that. How cool.
Look at that.
Isn't technology great? Good job, guys. Too bad we can't actually read it, you know. It's in Akkadian or something like that. So, but he wrote it, and he wrote it on this thing.
Wow.
Awesome, God. That's what I'm saying. Because the more we researched this, the more we saw how much God was in the details. I mean, y'all, he's been planning this thing a while. Donald Trump becoming the president was not a surprise.
That's right.
He's been planning That's this right. thing. We're here just praying, oh God, help us, oh God. Cyrus, we need Cyrus help. Cyrus. Not a clue, you know, what we're praying about. Just praying in faith and praying in obedience. And now the Lord is beginning to lift our eyes up and open our eyes to begin to see this is what you prayed for. So the stirring up of Cyrus. There's all kinds of scriptures here, guys. How many of you have gone through the scriptures and read the anointings, the Cyrus anointing passages? Well, we're going to give you some passages here. And there's more. We didn't even list the ones in Daniel. You know, in Daniel, it talks about the first year of Cyrus's reign. Then later on, it talks about in the third year. That's how we know Daniel was there with him. And just so you know, that this article is on the website, Ricky, right? Yeah, it's on the website, and we listed our sources. Okay, so here's some scriptures. I'm just going to give you the scriptures, and how about you just write them down? Okay, I'll read through them, and you just write them down, okay? So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Sounds like another individual we kind of know about, huh? That the Lord has stirred up. And he says it in here. He said, I have stirred up.
Isaiah 41, 25 through 27.
I have stirred up and put into action one from the north, the king, and this is Amplified Version, the king of Persia, Cyrus the Great, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call on my name in prayer, and he will trample on the Babylonian officials as on mortar, even as a potter treads clay. The important thing is there that I want you to see is I. Now, who do you think the I there is?
The Lord.
The Lord. I have stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. I have stirred him up. The king of Persia, Cyrus the Great. Also in Isaiah 44, down through 24 through 28, he says, for the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb says this, I am the Lord, maker of all things, who alone stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself, frustrating the signs and confounding the omens of boasters, false prophets, making fools out of fortune tellers, counteracting the wise. Have y'all seen anything look like that, guys?
Yes.
Making fools out of all this stuff and making their knowledge ridiculous. Anybody sing that?
Yes.
Confirming the word. It could be just what we've been seeing in the media, you know? Confirming the word of his servant and carrying out the plan of his messengers. It is I. Who is the I again? The Lord. Who says of Jerusalem, she shall again be inhabited. And of the cities of Judah, they shall again be built. And I will raise up and restore her ruins. It is I who says to the deep, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, ruler, and he will carry out all that I desire.
How much? How much?
All. Saying of Jerusalem, she shall again be rebuilt. And of the temple, your foundation shall again be laid. Now, the thing about it is that when that scripture was written, Jerusalem didn't have to be rebuilt.
Had not gone in captivity at that time.
But 150 years later, it did have to be. So, the Lord is very into the details here. All right, so Ezra 1, 2a. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that is the first year he ruled Babylon, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord stirred up, put in motion, the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. I remember Nita said something like, the Lord told her, said, if you could see, I probably won't get it exactly right, but it was like, if you could see what's behind him, the force that's behind him. You know, it's that same spirit we're talking about here, where he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Here's the actual quote that was on that Cyrus cylinder. This is what he said. Thus saith Cyrus the king, since God Almighty has appointed me to be king of the habitable earth, I believe that he is that God which the nation of the Israelites worship. For indeed he foretold my name by the prophets, and that I should build him a house at Jerusalem in the country of Judea.
Yes.
And that's not all he said. That's just a part of it. That's from Josephus.
Yes.
This man got a clue.
Yes.
If God did it then, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes
1:9, what God has done before, he will do again. That's paraphrased. It happens many times in the scripture. Things replay. And
okay, I think we'll just write these scriptures down. 2 Chronicles 36:22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So has anyone wondered why, you know, Donald Trump seems so stirred up?
If you had God's finger in your back, you'd be stirred up too.
I mean, you know, just what he's talking about, the magnitude of this. Now imagine, I want you to imagine this just a minute. Okay, let's think about pastors and leaders of the body. When the anointing of the Lord comes upon you, Ray, the first time the anointing of the Lord came heavily upon you, did you flow just perfectly? Or did you have to learn to flow in the anointing?
Learn to flow.
He learned to flow. Now imagine if you're an unbeliever and you haven't been trained.
And God wants to use you.
And he's got this force behind you. How well are you going to flow in it at the beginning? You see? And we wonder why he stumbles over some of his words sometimes, and he appears, has this appearance sometimes of being so brash, and his words just can't come out just right, and they just kind of, look what's moving him. Look the force that's behind him, you know?
Well, here we are. Why did Cyrus come at this hour? Because before the foundation of the world, God had ordained for America to be shifted at this time. And really, the soul of this nation, the heart of this nation was crying out for change. And we were really headed down. Remember the vortex that we talked about going down, and the nation was going down, and that God wanted to reverse that, and through intercession, he would come and we would see the nation really spiraling down. And we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen that under the Obama administration. And it almost looked hopeless. I mean, a lot of believers, they're just about checked out, right? A lot of the church is just about checked out. But the thing about it is our intercession went forth, that spiraling down came to a halt. Because of the intercession, it began to reverse and the vortex began to come out, bringing America out of the pit. And that's what's going on. That's what your prayers are going to be about from henceforth, from this time to the time that he finishes his presidency. And so here we are. The Lord brought this mantle of Cyrus to America. Now, what I want you to do in your thinking is overlay what we have just heard from the scriptures over Donald Trump. Because I can remember when Nita told us about this. We were in actually a staff prayer, and we had gone down to Savannah to meet with Fred. And he was sitting in the car right next to us, and he said, "Are you on the phone?" We were on our anniversary, and we just stopped to have dinner with him. He said, "Get on the phone." And so we got on the phone, and Nita was talking about, she said, "The Lord has just shown me that Cyrus is Donald Trump." And see, we had just voted like 3 weeks before that for Ben Carson. Everybody remember that? But anyway, here was this mantle of Cyrus that he was raising Trump up. And a lot of us at that point in time, when we first heard about him, we thought, I don't know about that. Are you sure you heard God?
I remember Nita said, the Lord told her that. She said, "Trump?"
So when we heard it, we kind of said the same thing. But God was preparing him. He was raising him up. And this mantle was on him and behind him. And really, God would push him right through to do what he's got to do anyway, under that mantle. But you and I need some very intricate things done for this nation. And that's why we need to come behind him as intercessors, so that we can push that through. See, God's stirring up a revolution to free us from tyranny, to set us free from the elite, from the New World Order. God is literally ripping the New World Order out of the fabric of this nation without destroying the nation. Tell me how you do that. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
God's redeeming us from this hour of tyranny that's been over this nation. This is like the revolution all over again. This is like the revolution all over again. You're fighting for your freedom. This nation, because of the elite, they had taken everything in this nation. They took our jobs overseas. I mean, I'm serious. We were losing. The South had lost the things that had made the South great in the 40s and 50s in the sense of manufacturing were taken out of the South. And the textile mills and everything weren't producing anymore. And people didn't have jobs. And I'm sure the same was true in the Northeast and the North. Steel mills and auto companies and everything. Things were going, industry was going away. And they were taking us apart piece by piece. It was planned. You and I were going to be serfs for the New World Order, where there was going to be a upper class and a bunch of serfs serving them. That was the plan. But God. Because see, God has a vision for this nation. And that vision is to be a refuge nation that the people can flee the New World Order to come to, that they can be in a safe place. And this is why God is raising this up in this hour. See, Revelation is coming to inspire the revolution. Don't you see, just by what has happened so far, just with Trump, aren't you inspired to press in harder? Look, if your prayers did what it's done so far, imagine what they will do as you continue to pray. Amen. You're not going to believe what's going to happen. You're not going to believe what's going to happen because you and I, as of 2013, just came out of 50 years of judgment. And God is about to release some very huge blessings that He wanted to release in 1963. Before they assassinated Kennedy. You know, Kennedy was going to begin to lead us out of this thing. He said, "I'm one of the guys, but I'm not carrying this nation down this." But what ended up happening was they said, "Okay, really? Okay, pow." And then the nation went into judgment. See, it was really the church's fault. How do you figure that? Well, in the 40s and 50s, God did miracle healing revivals all over the nations and all over this nation. And God was giving the church an opportunity to come up to another place. And in the late 50s, you know what the church said? Nah, not interested.
This was per Bob Jones.
And when
we
that
heard Bob deliver this ourselves.
Right. When that began to happen, the nation started declining. And so then when, you know, Kennedy was going to stop what they were going to do, and his brother was going to stop. It's like, if anything happens to me, you carry this vision on. They're like, no, we're going to take this out. So he became a ritual sacrifice. And we went into 50 years of judgment. And we came out in 2013. And the thing about it is, we have the chance now to have the blessings that God intended for this nation. We're in desperate need of the blessings, because without those blessings, we will not be a light to the earth. Because God is restoring. He's restoring these things that need to be restored. Let me just read some of these. Here's the Kennedy era blessings that God is...
How many of you heard Nita say last night that part of what Donald Trump will do will be to accomplish, finish what Kennedy started?
Amen.
That's part of... She's mentioned it last night, that he's carrying that mantle.
Amen.
To finish what Kennedy started. So here are the blessings that God wanted to release, but the church went, no thanks. Appreciate it. I'm happy right where I'm at. I don't want to advance. I don't want to pay the price. I'm just appreciate it.
There are 24 blessings that God wants to release in this nation so that we can become what we're supposed to be. And the number one is revival. We need revival. Listen, revival can change in a short amount of time what it would take 1,000 years to change by the hand of man. He's going to release reformation, number two. Revolution, amen. Revelation, this is a 7 R's. Reclamation, he's going to make us a repentant nation. Not just you and I, but the nation. The nation's going to understand before this is over. The church is going to walk in holiness, number 7. Number 8, we're going to overturn abortion once and for all in this nation. Number 9, the end of the drug culture. Yes, God. Number 10, restore sexual purity, especially in our youth. Number 11, purity in music. Amen. Such a powerful force, isn't it? You know, the devil understood that because he was the worship leader in heaven until he got booted. Right? Number 12, the purity in media. Yes. Give us some real news. Something that's uplifting.
They're going to be reporting on the revival.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And all those stadiums that the football team built for us.
Yeah.
See how awesome. Smart God is? He let them finance the building of it so we could use it.
Yeah, we've seen that before.
Yeah, Paul Kane prophesied that years ago.
Hallelujah. Number 13, bring forth the fruit of the civil rights movement around the world.
Amen.
We got to get our hearts healed so God can do what he wants to do in the nation. Thank you, God. Number 14, the removal of the central banks and put in place a new asset currency based on gold or based on precious metals. Enough of that fiat currency. Amen?
Amen.
Removal of the IRS. Yes, come on. Come on.
How many of you are tired of your income taxes, you know, going to the Vatican and going to the Federal Reserve?
How many tired of funding that? Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. The removal of the overarching power of the Catholic Church, number 16.
Yes, God.
Yes, God. Number 17, the diminishing of the occult.
Yes, God.
Yes, God. Number 18, standing with Israel.
There you go.
Number 19, righteous government. Thank you, God. When righteousness and rule, the scripture says, the people are in peace. Amen. The end of the new world order. That ought to be another one. Woo! A righteous education system where we get rid of that common core and some of that other foolishness. Do you know they totally rewrote our textbooks where the truth is not even there anymore. They took it out. Again, another plan of the elite. Number 23. 22. Renewing a proper military alignment in the nation where it's necessary. How about all those officers that Obama booted? Come on back, we need you. You know, a lot of them are actually going to be in staff positions in this administration. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I can't think of anyone else that I would rather be sitting in a Homeland Security position than a retired general. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's awesome. That's awesome. He understands the threat.
And you know what? The U.S. military, I just got a notice a couple days ago from our state coordinator of North Carolina, Vicki Papke, and she sent me this article that the U.S. military representatives had gone to the Native Americans and repented to them for what the military in the past had done to them.
Yes.
They repented for taking the children. They repented for the rapes. They repented for taking their language from them. They repented for putting the kids in school. I mean, everything that we have prayed about, they stood there and repented.
Yes.
And when they finished, the one who was speaking went and knelt down in front of, I assume he was the chief. Mm-hmm. And the chief put his hand on his head. He just knelt down with his head in
he
his lap.
He humbled himself.
And the chief put his hand on his head. And
yes,
the nation, you know, just erupted. The Lakota nation.
Yeah.
The nation just erupted.
Yes.
And said, we forgive you.
Most beautiful sound.
Said, we forgive you. You know, and all this has happened since Cyrus.
Yes.
See, look, we don't have a clue.
This is the fruit. It's going to be past what you can imagine.
I have that video. Anybody that wants it, email me.
Yeah.
You know where I'm at.
Number 23, for the U.S. to overturn Obamacare.
Yes!
Yes, God! Yes, God. Number 24, for the U.S. to overturn Common Core.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. Better see where we are on the overhead.
A couple other scriptures, Isaiah 45. The significance of Isaiah 45, that Donald Trump is going to be the 45th president of the United States. And Isaiah 45 clearly outlines about Cyrus. I started to say about Trump.
Why don't you read that?
This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, king of Persia. To whose anointed? His anointed, whose right hand I have held. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
To subdue nations before him. And I will ungird the loins of kings, disarming them. This is what the Cyrus mantle is, guys.
Yes.
To open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. Who is I?
God.
I will go before you and level the mountain. Is it any wonder that Cyrus went and wrote on that cylinder? I mean, look at what he's telling him. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. And John was referring to this yesterday in staff prayer. I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hoarded treasures.
That's right.
And the hidden riches of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you, Cyrus the Great, by name. For the sake of Jacob my servant and of Israel my chosen, I have also called you by your name.
Yes.
I have given you an honorable name, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God except me. I will embrace and arm you, though you have not known me.
Yes.
That people may know from the rising to the setting of the sun the world over that there is no one except me. I am the Lord, and there is no other.
Yes, God.
The one forming light and creating darkness, causing peace and creating disaster. I am the Lord who does all these things. Rain down, O heavens, from above. Let the clouds pour down righteousness, all the blessings of God we just read about. Let the earth open up. Let salvation bear fruit and righteousness spring up with it.
Yes.
I, the Lord, have created it. I have stirred up Cyrus and put him into action in righteousness to accomplish my purpose.
Yes.
And I will make all his ways smooth. Who's going to do this?
God.
He will build my city and let my exiles go without any payment or reward. Without any payment or reward.
Yes.
What did Donald Trump say about his salary? Yes. No, thank you.
Amen. It's right here in Scripture.
God is in the details.
Yes. Only three presidents have not taken a salary.
Kennedy was one of them. But then Jeremiah 51:20, you, Cyrus of Persia, soon to conquer Babylon, are my battle axe and weapon of war. I love that.
Yes.
For with you I shatter nations.
Yes.
With you I destroy kingdoms.
This is talking about, in our day, pulling down the strongholds of the elite. Look at what's going on. They are shuddering in their boots. Their plans are crumbling left and right. And they're not going to go down without a fight. So that's where you and I come in.
Let me just jump ahead just for a minute, because some say, how, you know, God is so in the details, because Donald Trump's mother was born and raised, his grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents on the Isle of Lewis. And what is the Isle of Lewis? Who can tell me? The Hebrides. It's where the Hebrides revival began.
Off of Scotland.
And that's where Donald Trump's mom was from. She was born there. The Hebrides revival. The Hebrides, I've talked to a lady who was from that region. And she said that Donald Trump's great-grandparents were heavily involved in the Hebrides revival. His lineage, his forefathers, we don't know, but they paved the way. This is not something God just decided. I mean, just like with the original Cyrus, God wrote this 150 years before he was born. I believe it's gone that far back, at least, in his preparation for this very day that we are living in. And we had a part in it in intercession to help bring forth what God wanted to bring forth. Isn't that amazing? That we're just a little bitty tiny person in God's humongous great big plan.
Affecting history.
Amen. That's going to affect the world.
That's good.
So God is doing a new thing.
Yeah, you can move on up. This is about a two-hour teaching. We're trying to press it down to about an hour.
So there will be, let me say this, there will be, go back one. There will be two separate streams that will be used to help rebuild the nation. The Lord revealed that to Nita. You know, one part will be believers, another part will be unbelievers whose hearts are righteous toward this nation. There are those who are righteous in their actions. They may not be believers. They may become believers, but they are not. But God is going to use them. Why? Because non-believers will not understand spiritual lingo. So he has to have somebody that they will listen to that can speak their language.
That's right.
You know, that was one of the reasons he chose Trump. Trump is not speaking the
church
language. The church language.
Yeah.
You know, he is a God-fearer. There's a part of him, Nita said that the Lord showed her, there's a part of his heart that the devil has never touched.
That's right.
Throughout it all. And here's the other wild thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about his mom. You know, she, on the language, in the Hebrides, those kids went to school, their homework was memorizing chapters of the Bible.
That's right.
They learned the Bible. When he holds up that Bible, he says, my mom gave me this Bible. And his mom wrote him a note in the beginning, in the front of that Bible, 1955. She had been raised in the Word of God.
That's right.
God planned this. And Donald's name, on that island of Hebrides, they spoke the language of Gaelic. And Donald John Trump, in the Gaelic language, his name is Donal, Ian. And Donal means king of the earth. Remember Nita said last night, the Lord has called him to be Prince of America. But that's going to push him into the role of king of the earth. Yes. That was what Cyrus said. What did Cyrus say on that cylinder?
Yes.
Apparently, the God of the Israelites has appointed me to be the king of the habitable earth. So, you know, Trump could almost write that himself. You know, God has done this. He hasn't done it. He didn't ask for this, y'all.
That's right.
He did. God did this. Why? Why did God do it? He has a plan. He has a purpose. America has an end time purpose.
That's right.
And we have to step into that place.
That's right.
And walk in what God has for us.
And agree with that.
And agree with it.
That's
so
right.
That brings us to December 19th, the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. Ray had a vision back in Kansas City 2-3 years ago. And the ending part of that vision was that the Lord told him to pray that this election not be declared inconclusive. And as you can see, they have tried every way possible to make that, what the Lord told him, a reality. We need to hold that up continuously in prayer, that this election will have the conclusion that the Lord has ordained. One other interesting thing. When Trump assumes office, and I know some of you have heard that, but when Trump assumes office the next day, January 21st, he will be 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old.
Yeah, that's right.
Matching up with the Hebrew calendar, which is 5,777. 777.
Yes.
Details. God is in the details.
Yeah, we're cutting out a lot because we need to get to prayer.
This is a brief of what Nita said. Come out of the box.
That's right.
We need to be willing to loose ourselves from preconceived ideas of what it should look like.
That's right.
We do not usually sit still to hear his way. Nita was visited by angels over this, and the angel kept saying repeatedly that it was for our safety to obey the words of the prophets.
Yes.
They were warning because we trust our ways more than God's.
That's right.
You know, that was one of the reasons the Israelites kept getting into problems.
One of the things that God said in Psalms and also in Hebrews, he said, my people don't understand how I do things.
That's right.
That was God's criticism of his people. And so we need to follow suit with what the Lord has need of in this hour in order to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished so that he can fulfill what he's got to do. He is a wrecking ball. He is a bulldozer. And he is going to devastate what the elite have set up, really for the last 200 years. He's going to devastate it. And I want to warn you for just a minute. I want you to hear this. Look here. When things are upside down and they get turned right side up like they're supposed to be, you don't think some chaos is going to be involved in that? Listen, this is good chaos. This is the kind of chaos where God is undoing their hold, their stranglehold, their stronghold on this nation. Some of it's going to be ugly. And if that bothers you, you're just going to have to just say, Lord, I'm just trusting you in this transition. Because, you know, transition time is a difficult time. Because in transition time, you really can't feel your footing. It's uncomfortable because you're not familiar with what's going on. That's where we're going. We're going through this transition. That's what's happening right now and over these next few months. And, you know, it's like we said the other night, there's been a lot of division over this election. Families, church members, all kinds of things. You're just going to have to just echo to them, let's just trust the Lord. Let's just watch the hand of God work in this thing. Because we're in the hour that this is God's time. If we miss this, we're in big trouble. Everybody agree with that? We miss this. This is God's out for this nation and to set this nation in the place of becoming a leader of the nations again, a light to the nations again. And listen, like we said earlier, this is not just going to affect America. You know what? You know who it's going to affect the most besides America? It's going to affect Israel. It's going to affect Israel. There are already rabbis talking to him and Putin about helping them build a new temple right now. So I'm just saying, you know, this has tremendous implications. We're going to shift gears because we need, hold on just a minute. We're going to need to shift. We don't have but just a few minutes left for prayer.
Real quick, Ricky had sent out a word earlier in the year that this is so important because not only is it affecting right now, but it is also affecting the Supreme Court justices that are going
future
to be elected.
Generations.
So you're looking at an affected period of at least 40 years, maybe more. You know, so we've got to stay committed, guys. We've come this far. Now the baby, it's like the baby's there in the canal. You got to push it out. Okay, you got to push it out. You don't just get in the middle of labor and decide, I'm going to just take a vacation. Okay, we got to push it out.
Amen.
We got to push it out.
Okay, let's get to your place of prayer. Just assume whatever position you feel led to get in.
I just want to tell you that we will accomplish this.
That's
but
right.
We have to press through. While we were in worship this today, the Lord pierced my heart and he said, the work that we will accomplish, we will push this man through. We will accomplish it. And he gave me Isaiah 45, and then they're talking about that, and that it's all about Cyrus and what he will do, not only in our nation, but the nations around the world. He is a man that will bring forth the righteousness of God that we have prayed for how many years on?
17 and a half, going on 18.
So don't allow discouragement to set in. But allow God to lift your faith. We will do this.
Yes.
Just press in.
Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. All right. Just assume your position of prayer and let's just begin to press into God.